It's good to be here today, and considering the promises of weather we have, well, it's good to have everybody with us. We're thankful that you all made it. A few things I'd like to say before I get into my sermon. You know, in the media yesterday, and some of you probably seen it, both young and old, that there was a shooting down in Arizona. Christians don't kill people, no matter what you think about them. This guy was supposedly a conservative, and this woman out there, a senator, was a Democrat, and he didn't like those liberal views, and he decided to take things in his own hand and kill several people. That's not a Christian way. Christians never kill people. And no matter what you think about somebody, we're commanded by our Lord to love them. Another thing I like to say, if we happen to have bad snow and ice here sometime, you incline to come, I'm willing to help you. I have a tractor and a truck, and I think I can help you to get here. If you call me and let me know, I can help with that, or get back home. If it happens you get here and it's bad, I think I can get you home. This morning we want to start our lesson over in Revelation chapter 21. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1. Revelation 21. We'll start with verse 1. And we'll read down through about verse 8. And I hope I have this organized to where you can kind of go along and read with me and try to keep the scriptures together, close together as we turn back to the Bible. It says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now I want to point out something to you here. He talked about the first earth passing away, and we had a new earth, and then he says there was no more sea. And if you remember in Genesis, the first thing created was water. And so that lets us know for surety that this is not a new earth like we leave it on here, made over. No, this is different. He says in verse number 3, I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle with God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things have passed away. Can you imagine a place where there's not pain? A life without pain? That's great. When I think about it, every day I get up, it's pain. Every night when I go to bed, it's pain. You know, so that's a wonderful thought, that there's a life without pain. And I want you to notice, I noticed something as I was reading this, I never noticed before last night, I saw. It says, God shall wipe away all tears. It didn't say there wouldn't be any tears. You know, children cry, and their mother can wipe away those tears and make it all better and feel good. And so that's what God will do for us there. We may feel like crying, but then when God explains it and shows it and tells us about it, those things will go away. And there's no death, no sorrow. You know, no crying, all those things would be gone. And he that sat upon the throne, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he that sat upon the throne would be our God. And he said unto me, it is done. I'm mounted unto me at the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is the thirst of the fountain of water of life freely. And that God he speaks of that sat upon that throne, and the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, would be none other than Jesus Christ our Lord. And he says in verse 7, he that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have that part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The fearful, are you afraid? Liars, all liars. You told them the lies. You see the contrast of the two places? Which one do you want to be in? I want to be in the first one. I don't want to be in that second group. They're thrown into the lake of fire, and it burns with brimstone. It says the second death. Which group would you choose if you had a choice? Well, surely everybody would choose the first. Who are going to be cast out of the lake of fire with the devil? Look here at Revelation 20. We'll start at verse 10. And the devil was deceived, was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. That's where the devil's at. What the beast and the false prophets are and shall be torment in a day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, and this is the lake of death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire. You know, how do you decide? How is it decided which way you're going? Whether you're going to be in this new heaven and this new earth with God, or are you going to be in that burning lake of fire? How's that decided? It's decided according to whose name are written in the book of life. Now, if you want to go to that place where the fire is, and you want to go with the devil and his angels, you know what you got to do? I tell you, nothing. You don't have to do a thing. And you'll automatically be there. Just do nothing. Just live your life the way you think you ought to live and do nothing about it. And that's where you'll be. But if otherwise you choose the other, you want to be in heaven with God or in this new heaven, this new earth, this new place where there's no more tears and crying, then you have to do something. You have to do something to get your name on the book of life. And the one thing you have to do is be faithful. Faithful. Revelation 2:10 says, "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I give you crown of life." You have to be faithful. You're going to be tried and tested. The devil's out to get you. He's trying to cause you to fall. So you're going to have to be faithful. One of the things you've got to be faithful in is forgiveness. As God has forgiven us, so must we forgive others. Matthew 6:12, it says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors." That's what the Lord told us to pray. Let us forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. But if you forgive not, and then in Matthew 6:15 it says, "But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So that's quite plain and simple. God made sure we understand. Now, how would you go out and kill somebody then? You can't have hatred in your heart. And if you kill somebody that's murdered, you certainly haven't forgiven them. Matthew 18:33, he says, this is what the Lord said, "Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I have pity on thee?" Just think about how the Lord has pitied us. Hey, he gave his life for us, and even while we were undeserving, he died for us that we could be saved. And he says, "And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother the trespasses." You want to go to heaven? Then you can't have grudges and hard feelings. You got to be willing to forgive your brethren and those around us. If you want your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have to be faithful and attendant to be covered by the blood of Christ. Let's turn over to 1 John 1. Let's start reading in verse 5. 1 John 1:5. He says, "And this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, sees in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ is uncleansed from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive for our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we've not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." You see, we have to be faithful in confessing our sins. We have to be faithful in the fellowship that we have with God and one another. And in to do that, we have to assemble. Turn to Hebrews 10. We'll begin reading verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10. It says, not forsaken the assembly of ourselves together, the man of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. For we sin willfully after we receive the knowledge of the truth, there remains no more sacrifice for sin. But a certain fearful looking for judgment and fiery damnation, which I devour the adversaries. He despised Moses' law, died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Or how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy of, who had trodden under foot the Son of God, and encountered the blood of the covenant wherewith he is sanctified on holy things, and has been defied on the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth unto the Lord, unto me, and I'll recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So we want to be faithful in attendance. The reason we want to be faithful in attendance is so that we can be faithful in communion with Christ. And that's where the blood is applied and our sins are cleansed. And we continue with Him. Turn to 1 Corinthians 11 now and verse 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll start with verse 23. Paul said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take ye, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, this drink do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. But he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. For when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so we see that when you come together, you're faithful in remembering Christ. You're faithful in applying the blood of Christ to you and cleansing you. When we judge ourselves and we ask for forgiveness and we continue in the blood of Christ, we remember that death that was given and the blood that was shed for our sins. To be faithful in those things, we'll keep our name on the Lamb's Book of Life. But if you're not a member of that body, the symbol of the body of Christ, and you eat and drink, it's nothing but eating and drinking. You're not spiritually born. If you don't have a spiritual birth, then you don't make that spiritual connection with Christ. You're just eating and drinking. It's all this, just cracker and a little grape juice. Because you cannot remember a Savior who's not your Savior. It has to have the spiritual implications. To have your name written in the Lamb of the Life, you have to obey Christ. Hebrews 5:9, it says, he being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. So to do that, you have to obey the gospel of Christ. And 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it says, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. He shall be punished with everlasting instruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of fire. You know, if you don't obey the gospel of Christ, it's a certainty you're going to be in there with the devil, the unbelieving and the fearful, the liars, and whoever commits all those things. You see, you have to obey the gospel of Christ. You can't live good enough. You can't do enough good enough deeds to escape the dark side of that. You have to obey the gospel of Christ to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. What is the gospel? While we're here in Corinthians, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You can see what is the gospel. And I hope that we'll all know, if anybody ever wants to ask us, if we ever have a reason to give an answer about our salvation and the gospel of Christ and what it is, we can tell them. It says this, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel. He says, I'm going to tell you the gospel. which I preached unto you, and which you have received, and wherein you stand. By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believe in vain. So you can believe in vain, unless you keep it in memory. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture. And they were buried, and he arose again the third day, according to the Scripture. Therein is the gospel, how the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ, all for our sins, to show us the way of eternal life. Paul said about the gospel in Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Then how are we to obey the gospel? 2 Thessalonians said we have to obey. How do we obey? Turn your Bibles over to Romans 6. Let's see how we obey the gospel of Christ. To be born anew, to have a new life, to rise in newness of life, to have our cleansing of our sins. Romans 6, we'll begin reading in verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us that were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, when does that newness of life come back? When we rise from being baptized in Christ. You don't have a new life before then. It happens when you're baptized there. He says in verse 5, that we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. So that brings to mind, you know, it says there, the second death. Those who have had the second birth, the second death has no power. You see, if we've had this new birth, the second birth, and we can obey the gospel of Christ, and we rise a new man, then the second death has no power. We don't die the second death. We go into heaven with God. To have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you must be in Jesus Christ. Here it says that we are baptized into Christ, buried with him by baptism into death. And so this baptism here puts us into Christ. Galatians 3:27 says it very plainly. It says, for many of us have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. And so when we enter into that baptism, we're putting our name in the Lamb's Book of Life. To be in the Lamb's Book of Life, you have to have your sins gone. You can't take sins with you into heaven or into the presence of God. And then how do you get through that? Again, in Acts 2:38, when Peter preached to them the first gospel sermon, Scripture says they were pricked in their heart, and they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So you are baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 22:16 points out something similar. Ananias told Saul, who became Paul, why carest thou? Rise and be baptized, wash away thy sins, call on the name of the Lord. If you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, you'd say you're saved, wouldn't you? Yes, you have salvation. And here's how you have it. The Bible teaches us how we enter into salvation. Mark 16:16, Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. 1 Peter 3:21, for many of us are baptized. 1 Peter 3:21. Let me turn over and read that. I meant to quote it, but somehow I got my mind on something else. 1 Peter 3:21. The last figure, whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not to put in the way of the filth of the flesh, but to after good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You know, this is the only way. This is the only way you can be in Christ. This is the only way you're going to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And this is the only way you're going to continue, is to be faithful in those things. And there's only one way. And that's the way of Christ. Turn over to John 14. In John 14, we see the Lord is talking about the same place we read about in verse 21. John 14 in Revelation 21. We'll start reading verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled, he says. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So as the Thessalonian letter says, Christ is coming back again, and we're all going to meet him in the air. And then you'll be, you know, that judgment, we're going to be there in the heaven, and he's going to be our God. And we're going to be his son. And we're going to live with him where there's no tears, no crying, no nothing like that. He's prepared that place for us. And verse 4 he says, whither I go, you know, and the way you know. So the apostles knew the way, and what they taught about going into Christ and being there is the right way. Verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? And Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from hence ye know him and have seen him. This is the way. It's the only way. You know, Scripture says in Acts that there's none other heaven, no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. To have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we must do it in Christ and through Christ. You know, Jesus Christ built and died for a church. And when you're baptized into that church. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether it be Jew or Gentile, whether it be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. You see, we're all baptized into that one body, which is the church of Jesus Christ. This is the only body that we can be in and have our name in the Book of Life. Ephesians 4:4 says, there is one body, one Spirit, even as you're called, one hope of your calling. The Lord said in many places, hear. Hear, he that hath ears to hear, and let him hear. We want to hear what God has to say and what God says. Isaiah 55:3 says, incline your ear and hear. Incline your ear and hear. Come unto me. Let me get re-quote that again. I got them backwards. He says in Isaiah 55:3, come unto me and hear. Come unto me and incline your ear and hear. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercy of David. We come and hear what God has to say. And through hearing and believing, we can obey it, and we can, he'll make an everlasting covenant with us. So we certainly have to believe. In John 8:24, Jesus said, if you believe not, then he shall die in your sins. We have to believe that Jesus Christ is that Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but everlasting life. Through faith in him, we shouldn't perish because we should obey him. In Luke 13:3, Jesus says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So we all must repent. Repent of not being in Christ. No matter how good you are, outside of Christ, you're lost. And all the good deeds you can do won't matter. We have to repent of not being in Christ, of not obeying the gospel, of not following Jesus, to come to him and to do his will. In 2 Peter 3:9, he said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, we're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We almost come to that point of repentance. And once we've done that, we're ready to make that confession of our faith. Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, confess me before men, I confess you before my Father which art in heaven. Verse 33 says, deny me before men, I deny you before my Father which art in heaven. It don't matter how much you believe, if you're not willing to confess Christ and stand up for him to do his will, you see, you're not going to be there. Romans 10:10, it says, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation and toward salvation. So when we make that confession, then we're ready to be baptized into Christ. Take that next step to put us into Jesus Christ, the body of Christ, and then our name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we live faithful until the end, until the day we die, to the point of death. Heaven be a home. We can walk with him and live with him forever in eternity. we'll have our name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's not hard. It's easy to go to heaven if you're just willing to do what God says. It's not difficult and not heavy. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you're here this morning, I want to never obey the gospel of Christ, don't have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we want to give you the opportunity to do that today. And perhaps you had some doubts about some stuff. I hope this has cleared it up for you. And if you need to come and make confession of weakness of faith or whatever, we'll pray with you and for you, and God will forgive you and establish you in His kingdom. But if you're here today and subject to that gospel call in either way, we get the opportunity to come as we stand and sing.